In the Madison Police Department podcast, we promote safety by providing information on current crime trends in the capital city. In addition, we give listeners a behind-the-badge look at community-based, problem-solving policing done the Madison way. You will hear from passionate MPD subject matter experts, people we like to call guardians. These men and women are dedicated to keeping Madison a great place to live, learn, and play.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Madison Police Department podcast. I'm Public Information Officer Joel Despain, and we appreciate you as a listener. Joining us in the conversation today, I'm pleased to have with us Patty Kanaki and Virginia Kravick. Patty and Virginia oversee a team of very important people, the folks who are entrusted to keep some of our most valuable community members safe every day. Patty and Virginia are our crossing guard supervisors, and they are here as we gear up for Crossing Guard Appreciation Week. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is a statewide appreciation week?
Yes. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about it and how it got started and why are we doing it?
Oh, this started, I want to say, about 13, 14 years ago. Governor had declared Crossing Guard Appreciation Week as a way to recognize all of the adult school crossing guards across the state. Hmm. It's also supported by Department of Public Instruction and local police departments across the state.
And what does it mean, do you think, for our local Madison police officer crossing guards? Is it important to them to have this recognition?
Extremely important. They do a phenomenal job out there, and it's just another way for the crossing guards to feel supported and appreciated.
And so if you are a person, a parent, or just someone mm-hmm. who lives here, and you're on your way to work, and you're in an area where you see a crossing guard, what can you do to make them feel appreciated?
I think to start off with is drive as safely as you possibly can. I'll get into some other ways that you can recognize the crossing guards, but first and foremost, what they would love to see is that everybody drives 20 miles an hour when children are present, but then for parents and other drivers to be aware that there may be kids crossing, and if they see a crossing guard that's approaching the edge of the street and puts their stop sign up, that the drivers stop as safely as possible, allow the crossing guard to stop traffic and cross the kids safely before any drivers proceed.
So. And do we have a lot of violators still, or is the word getting out? I know we've been working in sort of a public awareness campaign and getting some good folks from the media to cover crossing guards, but what are you hearing from the people out in the field?
I'll turn that one over to Virginia.
Well, we have definitely seen more violations this year than any of the other years that I've been here.
Is that right?
Yes. And it just seems that everyone's in a hurry. And this year, particularly, I think in all areas, it appears that people's, even if they're familiar with the area, they are well aware that the crossing guard is coming out into the street and they just don't want the delay, so they just go through.
Do you think that's sort of a statement on how we are as people in this country now, that we're just all zooming from one place to the other? And I guess folks should really just leave 5 minutes early. You know it's going to be there. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Exactly. Yeah. Or take a different route. There are other ways to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you want to alter your route if you really, really just can't spare the time to stop for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Right. And are you hearing this across the city, or is this in any particular areas?
Well, we have a few prime locations that it happens very frequently.
Do you want to name names or no?
Oh, Highland Avenue and Regent Street, Williamson Street and Thornton, Mineral Point Road, Monroe Street, any of the major corridors.
So I say some of these are major corridors, people trying to get downtown.
Yeah. 7th and Johnson.
Yeah, 7th and Johnson.
That's another one.
And what do you tell the crossing guards when they're seeing violators? What can they do? What can the general public do if they see people who are endangering crossing guards and or the children they're crossing?
Well, crossing guards or the public can report license plates with make and model of the vehicles to us at our office, 266-4703, or they can send it to crossingguards@cityofmadison.com email. And then we can, depending upon the severity, send out either a ticket, which is $98.80, or send a warning letter to get the educational piece out to the driver, let them know. But you asked earlier, I think this is sort of a general this is the way society is going. People are just becoming more impatient, but it still doesn't make it right. And we each need to do our part individually to drive safely and protect the kids and the crossing guards. That's the only way things are going to change.
And pay attention. Don't drive distracted.
Yes. Put your phones away.
Yes.
What are the crossing guards seeing? Are people like combing their hair, brushing their teeth, reading, or is it probably mostly texting or all of the above?
I think it's more phone use. I do.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But yeah, we still see a little bit of everything.
Right.
You know, putting makeup on, or reading the newspaper, believe it or not.
Looking off to the side at something else, perhaps, that got their attention, not paying any attention to what's in front of them.
Petting their dogs in their lap. You know, I mean, I love dogs, but, you know, not when I'm driving.
So is it becoming then an increasingly dangerous job for crossing guards? Are you still getting plenty of people, or do they feel emboldened to really try to lay the law down in their particular crossing area?
I think in terms of recruiting, I think people have, unless you've done the job and you know what kind of training we give the crossing guards, I think a lot of people see it as a very dangerous job. But if the crossing guards are following the procedures that we train them, it reduces significantly the amount of risk that they're taking.
And what types of folks do we have out there as crossing guards now? Are they mostly retirees, or are they a mixture of people?
I would say that the greater part are retirees, but we still have a good majority of others as well. That maybe just it's their only job right now because they still have students in school, and it works well with, you know, it's the same school schedules, you know, that they work the same as the school. They're off when the schools are off, so they don't have to worry about daycare issues. We're getting their children off to school, so it works for them as well.
And I know I've talked with some of these crossing guards in the past. I don't know if you still have some of them who were there year after year, decade after decade, and they really get to know these young people from kindergarten on, and it's really a bond that's pretty tight.
It is.
Are you still seeing that?
Yes,
we are. Our longest standing guard currently, she's talking retirement, but I'm going to try to keep encouraging her to stay a little bit longer, is Nancy First. She'll be celebrating 20 years next month.
Nice. And where's Nancy at?
Nancy had been at Monroe Street in Edgewood for a number of years and switched to Hegel over on Prairie Road. But now people will see her throughout the West Side as an on-call relief guard. She fills in whenever we need her.
So the phone rings in the morning and off you go.
Yeah, she's phenomenal, along with all of our crossing guards.
Yes.
But
excellent.
Our relief guards are...
And what can, as we talk about what crossing guards are doing, in terms of what can parents tell their young people, their students, their sons and daughters, as they're heading out on how to stay safe on the way to school and on the way home from school?
Well, always be aware of, you know, traffic and other things as they're traveling, and obey the rules. Listen to the crossing guard, wait behind the red line, wait until you're called or motioned to come across, and walk your bikes and scooters, you know, carry balls, don't bounce those in the middle of the street, and even then still, be aware of traffic as you're crossing, even when you're with the crossing guard.
And do you find that students, for the most part, are listening?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, this year I would say, at least on and from what I've seen this year, the students are listening better than they ever have. Mm-hmm. It seems to be the drivers that are not.
Yes. It's the adults that need an education.
Yes. Yes. Even with the students, though, I would really highly recommend that parents teach their kids to look left, right, left before they step into the street. Mm-hmm. Always cross with the crossing guard when they have one available. If they're walking to and from school, when they get farther away from school, they don't have a crossing guard, always cross at the intersections, at the crosswalks, look both ways, look over your right, left shoulder, make sure there's nobody turning before they step out. Those kind of basic things that we're not seeing as much training with kids anymore.
Hmm. And are you seeing a lot of folks still wanting to be crossing guards, or do you have, I know because at one point I think you were short, but now it sounds from what you're saying is that we may be in pretty good shape, but are you still recruiting, so to speak?
We're always recruiting. We're not currently hiring. We are hoping to get through the end of the school year, knock on wood, without having to hire anyone, but we're always looking for the next great crossing guard. there will always be openings. Yeah. We hear a lot of people saying, oh, when I retire, I want to do that job. But in the meantime, we have to have other people to fill in as some of our guards start to retire.
And so. Do you have a lot of requests, I imagine that you do, from folks out in the community who would mm-hmm. like to see a crossing guard at such and such location mm-hmm. where there is not one now? And how do you deal with that? And if it looks like there is a need, I assume that has to go through the Common Council, or how does that happen that you can place a guard at a intersection or street where there is not currently one now?
We do get those requests quite frequently, and there is a process that has to be followed, and the location needs to be studied first, and that's done by traffic engineering. So one of the first things that has to happen is the school in question has to have a traffic safety plan, and they have to abide by it. So they need to make sure that, and if they don't have one, they need to create one and then make sure that everybody is aware of what that plan is and that that's been determined to be the safest area to cross or to take a bike or to drop your students off, that they're following that plan. And then if they still see a need for that, then they would contact traffic engineering for a formal study, and they would come out, and there's a list of criteria, such as traffic accidents, speed of traffic, and the number of school children that would be utilizing that crosswalk. So those are, they have basic criteria that has to be met. And then if they determine that there should be a guard placed there, they make that recommendation to the Common Council, and they act on it.
Oh, also it's quite a process.
Yes, and if that gets approved, then it gets, then it's turned over to us for staffing.
And how many are on the streets at any given time now, and in how many locations in terms of crossing guards? Do you have that ballpark figure?
Ballpark about 53 permanent locations and crossing guards, and then we have another 10, 12 subs that help us out.
But, yeah, and so if somebody's really wanting to see another crossing guard added, they might call you, but there's really nothing you can do except to explain to them the process.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
And getting back to what we started with Crossing Guard Appreciation Week, can you hand them a $10 bill? No, I'm just kidding. Well, but, what can the public do to really say, we appreciate what you're doing?
Well, beyond the safe driving habits, they're not really permitted by policy to accept gifts of monetary value, but a few hand warmers, a cup of hot cocoa or a cup of coffee is always appreciated. Mm-hmm. Crossing Guard Appreciation Week falls generally the second week of January because it is among the worst weather of the whole year, and it's a great time to show your appreciation.
What about a wave or a smile? Or
that as well.
That is welcome every day. Yes, that is welcome every day. They really do appreciate that.
All right. Well, Patty Kanacki and Virginia Kravick, thank you so much for your service to the community and making sure that the right people are in the right places to keep the children safe. I'm Joel Despain. Thank you for listening to the Madison Police Department podcast.